Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Harris Faulkner going live with Trump in a moment. This was, when I say live, she's on live, and we're hearing this for the first time, but this was pre-taped last night. I'll just point out to you that on Monday, just on Monday, Trump was on social media criticizing Fox News in many ways, saying they've grown weak and soft on Democrats because they're going to interview Vice President Kamala Harris with Bret Baier. That's upcoming. And so on Fox, they're talking about the early voting, about a third of a million voters going in Georgia. That's a record, pretty much doubling what we saw 4 years ago. And so what does that mean? But I do find it interesting that, you know, with Trump, he really is somebody who will, you know, the day before, or, you know, the day before he pre-tapes something with Fox, he is criticizing the network, saying they've lost their way. So we're anxious to hear this as well. And talking about the polls, you can let me know as far as whether you believe the polls or not. For example, in Georgia right now, all the polls have it either locked head-to-head or Trump ahead in as many as 6 points ahead. And yet this morning, Greg Stocker always like, you know, I think he does this to trigger me, but he says, oh, no, look at all the women. They're all going to vote for Harris, you know. So we can all be Monday morning quarterbacks, I guess, and look at this. But I'll talk over this and give you some updates as far as until they go to this interview.
Everything needs to be on Twitter.
I know. So I do want to, they're not to Trump yet. He's just being introed, okay? But I think it's important to think about the scene setter here. And as far as Trump, he is everywhere. So coming out to an audience where they have a town hall and this is all women, it's a packed event. I would love to be in this crowd. I know many of us would, but it's pretty cool as they welcome him in and he gets this audience with all of these women. It's a little bit of a focus group, if you will, right?
It's a weird setup.
So it's
a pretty setup.
It is. Well, of course, it's Fox.
It's very TV.
Yes. And they do it well. I think they do it best as far as the look of the set. A great crowd. They had to vet everybody. High security, a smaller venue. But he gets a standing ovation, all these ladies in the crowd. And now they begin. Again, I want you to know that it is pre-taped, but they call it live to tape. They have promised, I believe, that they were not going to do the editing that we've seen on, for example, with CBS News, heavily editing those pieces, 60 Minutes, I should say, with 60 Minutes with Vice President Harris. Should we dip in a little bit here, Dan? I think there's still...
Look at what Senator Warnock talking. Had to say. I want to get, for the first time, former President Trump's reaction to what's going on here in Georgia. Let's watch.
If you to not vote is a vote, it's a vote for Donald Trump. It's to send this man one step closer to the White House, which finally, let me say, will be literally dangerous for so many of the people that we know. Dangerous, as we've demonstrated for women. But this man, let me remind the black men who are listening, the men of color, communities of color, he will be dangerous.
So she wants the reaction from, you know, talking about Trump is dangerous to women, dangerous to black men. So playing this, and this is just, you know, this is just yesterday that they continue with this rhetoric against somebody who has had assassination attempts against him. They had, the man was shot in the ear, in the right ear, as you know, in Butler, Pennsylvania. And then they arrested the other guy while he's golfing. The man can't golf. And then there was the other arrest, allegedly that one was, somebody who says he's a Trump supporter, but showed up at a rally with firearms. Here's Trump.
I don't think they have a policeman or a policewoman single. And we have the border, we have the safest border in the history of our country. Now we have the most unsafe border in the history of our country. So when you talk about safety, we had, it was just announced, as you know, last week, 13,099 murderers were released into our country. drug dealers, drug addicts, everybody is released into our country. We've never had anything like this. We've never had a mess like this. 625,000 criminals released into our country, along with 21 million people. We have no idea who they are. And, you know, that's just a soundbite. I don't know this guy, but he got lucky as hell to win, I'll tell you that much. But it's a soundbite that they like to use.
Warnock.
But remember this, law enforcement's with me 100%, and we have to keep our community safe. And we have to take these murderers that they've allowed to come through open borders without knowing anything about them. We have to take those people and we have to remove them. We have to get them out of our country.
We're going to get into all of it. I want, first of all, a show of hands. Who voted early today? All right. Sounds good. Oh, and they're waving.
Who did they vote for? I wonder.
I think about a third of the audience.
The first thing you wanted to know.
Are we
how
allowed
many
to ask that? Who did you vote?
So another show of hands. How many of you actually feel good about how the economy is right now?
None of them.
No.
Yeah.
You have our first question on the economy.
Too.
We will start there. Your first name, please, and tell us your hometown.
My name is Lisa, and I live in the city of Milton. First of all, welcome back to Georgia, President Trump.
Thank you very much.
Americans are concerned about the state of our economy. Democrats argue that your policies favor the wealthy, especially through tax cuts for billionaires, while the middle class continues to struggle these last 3.5 years under the Biden-Harris administration. Could you outline your plans to revitalize the economy again as president and policies that specifically support the middle class when reelected?
Sure. Thank you very much. Great question. And sort of an easy question for me to answer, because we have tremendous wealth in this country, but it's under our feet. It's called liquid gold. And we're going to bring down your energy costs. And with that, everything's going to follow. We're also going to make it possible for companies to come into our country again. You know, we've lost so many businesses. If you're in furniture making, like in North Carolina, just they're flocking out of our country because we have politicians that don't know what to do. We're bringing them all back. We have a tax rate that's going to lure them, and we're going to protect them with tariffs so they can make money and so they don't get stolen. But we're going to have record-setting jobs. And just to know, I mean, the advantage I have is that I've done it. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. We had never had an economy. And remember this, we also had the safest border in the history of our country. We never had a border that safe. The famous graph that I looked at, you know, my all-time favorite piece of paper. I mean, even... My all-time favorite. I love that piece of paper. But that shows you, that day, the day I left office, the border was the safest it ever was in the history of our country. We had the fewest number of people. We have the least amount of drugs. Everything was human trafficking, which is now 12 times higher than it was. And it's trafficking, I hate to say this, mostly in women. It's a vicious thing because of the internet and because of this administration, maybe more so than the internet. But we had the safest border. We had the best economy. Think of it, a combination of security and finance and all of the other things. And we're going to make it even better. We're going to make the border even better. But the border can't. I mean, we did things with the border that nobody could have done, including we built 571 miles of wall. And that wall worked. Then I got Mexico to give us soldiers, a lot of soldiers, 28,000 soldiers, to protect us. I said, you have to protect us because you're letting all of these criminals come into our country. You have to protect us. They said, we're not going to do it. I said, good, then I'm just going to tariff all your goods until you do it. They said, like I said, we're going to do it. And they gave us the sources. So we had great protection and we had the best economy in the history of our country.
Okay, let's get back to the economy.
So this is taking place in Georgia. They start out with the border and the economy. Those are two, I think, Trump winning issues. But do they get into some of the other tougher issues, women's issues? I wonder if they get into so-called reproductive health for women or the abortion issue. How does that work? And remember, they're in Georgia, a critical swing state. We know that for former President Donald J. Trump, the easiest path to the White House would be winning a state like Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, locking that in. But it's he's obviously not taking anything for granted here. I think it's mostly, it sounds like a pretty friendly audience. I did see some in the audience who were disagreeing, but for the most part, sounds like a pretty friendly audience. So, Dan, I don't know if you want to continue and take a little bit more.
Talking about Social Security taxing right now, it might be beneficial to take a commercial really quick and maybe bump back with some more, Dawn.
Okay, we'll do. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the breaking news of the day. I have some new numbers in for our area. We'll get to all of it. And if you have a question or comment, 855-839-1210. Be right back. So let's get back to it. In this one, we're going to talk about Trump is being asked about an issue that's a huge issue in our area. One that just recently I met, you know, Riley Gaines in person, as she has been here in Pennsylvania trying to help communities grapple with the issue of protecting women and girls in sports. And that's the question teed up for Trump.
Good.
But originally Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, wow.
I'd get
that's
that
good.
In there. My question is, how do you plan on addressing the transgender issue in women's sports? I have 9 grandchildren, 6 of them female, wow, all playing sports, and we are very concerned for their safety, not just on the field and the courts, but in their locker rooms as well.
Right. It's such an easy question, and everybody in the room, and you know that answer, we're not going to let it happen. You look, just yesterday, they had a volleyball match. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where a person that transitioned, okay, we have to be very careful because this can terminate your political career if you say it's slightly off, all right? But transitioned from man to female and was on a volleyball, and I saw the slam. It was a slam. I never saw a ball hit so hard, hit the girl on the head. But other people, even in volleyball, they've been permanently, I mean, they've been really hurt badly, women playing men. But you don't have to do the volleyball. We stop it. We stop it. We absolutely stop it. You can't have it. It's a man playing in the game. I mean, physically, from a muscular state, even if it was a little bit less, maybe they do all sorts of tests and drugs and everything else. Look at what's happened in swimming. Look at the records that are being broken.
So how do you stop it? Do you go to the sports leagues? Do you go to the Olympic
You just
councils?
Ban it. You, the president
Executive
bans
order.
It. You just don't let it happen. Not a big deal.
So that, you hear the applause on that one. I know that he moves on to talking about child tax credits. It's a huge issue for moms, especially when we think about coming off the pandemic and dealing with child care issues and the child, you know, tax credits and maybe even school vouchers as well. But for us locally, you think of what happened at Central Bucks. You think of, North Penn, United, the Lansdale area, Montgomery County schools. And grappling with Joe Biden's and Kamala Harris's Title IX policies and the executive order that Biden signed that just went into effect in August, local school districts dealing with this issue as I'm speaking. Do you want to go to this answer that he has, Dan?
Child tax credit?
Yeah.
Yep, here we go.
Credit has decreased by 80%.
Child tax credit has decreased by almost 80%. Daycare, for the lowest amount, is roughly $1,400 a month for one child here.
Yeah.
Last year, I broke my neck. I almost lost.
You have a beautiful voice, by the way.
Thank you so much. Yep. I'm having a panic attack right now. Don't panic.
Mom's very nervous.
Oh, right there with you. But last year, I had broken my neck, and I tried applying for any kind of assistance and was denied because I did not make less than $700 a month. And I'm shaking like a freaking leaf. I cannot stop. So I could not afford daycare. I obviously was having to go through physical therapy and a lot of issues, and I'm still having issues to this day.
Right, I understand.
But what kind of realistic changes that do you think you can provide single parents, married parents, any kind of parent to just simply afford children in today's world with the
and
way
it's
things
not fair,
are?
Right? It is not fair.
No.
You never heard of Ivanka, right? Ivanka. My daughter drove me crazy on this. We had the simplest, most beautiful tax. You know, I gave you the largest tax cuts in the history of our country, okay? Larger than the Reagan cuts, larger. But my daughter, Ivanka, she said, Dad, we have to do tax credits for women, you know, for the child tax credits. She was driving me crazy. Then I did it, and I got it just about done. Dad, you've got to double it up. I said, Ivanka, it was actually more complicated than the entire bill, but I got it done. And what we're going to do, and I'm going to make, because I understand exactly what you're saying, we're going to readjust things so that it's fair to everybody, because it's really not fair to everybody. But we have a lot, and we're going up higher, but we're also going to readjust, because you have to make some readjustments. It's unfair to some people, and we're not going to have that. But she was the one that got it started. You know, those were our credits. Those were not the Democrat credits. A lot of Republicans said, rightfully, don't do it because we never get credit for that. You know, we're not known for that. But the truth is, I wanted to put it all in the form of the tax cut. So I got the maximum tax cut, but we're also bringing down the taxes for companies and for people. We're bringing it down to 15%. And for companies, only if you make your product, build your product in the USA. Otherwise, you don't get it. So
I want to ask you.
So a couple of things here. And that's when they talk about the gouging and that sort of thing. So remember that Joe Biden wanted to hike the corporate tax, I believe, to 35%. His vice president, who's now the contender against Trump, and Vice President Harris has said, I believe, 28%. Trump has said, no, we're going to bring that corporate tax down to 15%. And that was something that worked for him, because it spurs the economy, keeps the jobs here, keeps the companies here, and it worked last time. I will tell you personally, when he talks about the tariffs, to me, that is Trump saying that, okay, if you want to move your company out, or you don't want to do it the way we want, then we're going to impose a tariff on you. So I do wonder about the tariff issue. I don't know that he would get that. I don't know. To be totally honest with you, I think with him, he's saying this is what happens if you leave the country as a company and you take those jobs with you. And so you heard him even saying that car companies like Mercedes, other cars, and how they bring the cars here and then they will assemble them here doesn't take that long. He doesn't like that. So he wants to bring jobs back here. Some of the pundits have said he'll never bring the jobs back. Remember this? I'm just going to take you back, because Obama at the time, remember, when Trump was running the first time off the escalator and running for 2016, and then President Barack Obama has said, nobody can bring back those jobs. Those jobs are never coming back. Remember that? Who brought those jobs back? It was Trump. So he did deliver on that, and he is the proven winner on that. I'm just saying. But remember where he is right now. Where are they reporting live from? This is in Georgia. What happened at the University of Georgia? This is where a nursing student, Lakin Riley, was murdered on this campus. Remember, by a man who should not have been in this country. And so this is Lakin Riley country. And so when they ask the border question, I will be curious to see during this interview, will they bring up Lakin Riley and that situation and the impact on people from Georgia? And we talk about the women's vote. Well, what about women who don't feel safe, whether they're young women on their university campus, whether they're women going to work, whether it's in Georgia or a city like Philadelphia? Because guess what? I just had a conversation recently with a friend who said, I'm not meeting you for lunch in Philadelphia. Not near your workplace. Don't want to go in the city. Don't feel safe. And by the way, not just women. So will Lakin Riley's murder be a question? And also in the bigger scheme of things, talking about these so-called sanctuary cities. So I imagine they will bring that up, as you've already heard them talk about the economy, talk about child care credits, and I've not heard as of yet abortion.
He makes a really good point, because Harris, in a follow-up on the child tax credit question, helping parents, really brings a bleak reality to the situation, that being that this inflation that we're seeing, it's probably not going to come back down. It's probably going to stick with us, and asks Trump what he can do, and Trump in his answer explains that a lot of what we're seeing now probably wouldn't happen had he been president, and I think it's pretty good stuff. Take a listen.
I asked you specifically what your vision is for people in this country who are going to have to readjust to price setting now. We will never go back to what we had. And even though the inflation rate has slowed, the prices are so high, they are just getting higher at a slower rate.
Yeah.
So what happens to the economy such that people can afford bacon that's gone up 28% in cost? Like, what do we do?
So I feel so badly about what's happened, because none of this would have happened. Just to start, There wouldn't have been a war in Ukraine and Russia. There wouldn't have been an October 7th in Israel. There wouldn't have been this horrible, most embarrassing day in the history of our country with Afghanistan, where we lost 13 soldiers. But they never talk about the soldiers that are so badly wounded. I mean, with legs and arms and face obliteration, all these things. And there wouldn't have been any inflation. And it's so sad to see. We have to get prices down because the damage is done. You know, when they say, well, we're stopping inflation because it went down now to 4.5%. Well, 4.5% is very high. Very high, meaning it's going up because it was at 3%. And then, but it was at one point, I believe, 40 or 50%. Because if you look, they didn't include a lot. They didn't include, I had interest rates at 2%. They went to 10%. But at 10%, you couldn't get the money. So they weren't at 10%. They were much higher than 10%. We've got to get the pricing down. It's this big lump.
So how do you?
And we've got to do, I'll tell you, everything starts with interest rates. If you get interest down, but it all starts with energy. We have more energy than anybody. We don't use it. We go to Venezuela to get their tar. You know, they have tar, and we have to refine it. We have the only refinery that can do it is in Houston, Texas. So if you're an environmental person, this stuff is pouring up. It's the worst stuff. We have the best, most beautiful. We have the best and the most.
So,
and we have to get, if we get energy down, and I'm making this pledge here, but I have made it a couple of days before, so, you know. But energy, your energy bill, which is a very big bill, will be down 50% starting on January, 1 year from January 20th. We take office, if we win this election, oh, and I just, you know, it's beyond like, I didn't need to do this. I really didn't. I saw what was happening, and I said, I have to do it again. We had a great election in 2020. We had an election that was much better than 2016.
Let me ask you this.
And so all of the polls, the latest Gallup poll I'm just looking at, you know, Trump 54% when it comes to who do you trust more with handling the economy. This latest Gallup poll, 54% of Americans say Trump. And that's only compared to 45% for Harris, which is actually, that's a better one for her. A lot of them are 70-30 for Trump. So he wins on the economy for sure. I am told that he does get asked by a California woman about the abortion issue. So that is one that we want to talk about moving forward. I have a great guest coming up, a great Kate Dugree is going to call from Delco. Great Republican mom candidate who's going to be joining me soon. So we'll talk to Kay and get her take as we think about Republican women and women looking at this election, what we're seeing here in Pennsylvania. And I just got some new numbers texted to me by an official. So I'll give you those around the corner. Got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They're featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models, oh, they're so sleek, new designs, innovative features powered by the latest in technology. Thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles that are available right now across Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. So with regard to Trump, you know, how do you think he's doing in this? I think mostly it seems like a pretty friendly crowd, but I know that there are, you know, they've brought in opposing, you know, voters, women who are either unsure or like the California mom who's saying, hey, abortion for her is, I think, a top issue as it is for many. Many women are going to vote on this very issue. So his answer is important. And I've often said, I wish I could just answer we're getting played when they talk about the national abortion ban and all of that. It's not a federal issue anymore. Even if he wanted to sign something on it, it would be smacked down to the states because the Supreme Court has made it a states' rights issue. Boom. It's no longer a federal issue. Why is that important? You know why it's important? Because if career politicians can no longer raise money on this issue that pimps women and girls, right? If career politicians cannot pimp these women and pimp this issue and fundraise off it, and it's all a big lie. We're getting played by both sides, by the way, ladies. Okay. And they don't even talk about Plan B because they're ignorant, all of them. But the bottom line on this, and don't even get me started, the bottom line on this, Republicans need to get better at talking about this very issue. But once it becomes not a moneymaker or an election winner for career politicians on both sides, guess what happens? Then career politicians or others are incentivized to actually deal with talking about women's bodies and health care, right? And then you have automatically less of these procedures, which is not a spa day, people. It's not a good thing. Nobody wants that procedure, right? And so if it were rare and if career politicians can't profit off of it, win elections off of it, make money off of it, if it's not a big money laundering operation, which it is right now, look at Planned Parenthood's PAC, and they give 100% to Democrats, and look at the money, hundreds of millions of dollars. This is a horrible issue that's we're being pimped and played. American women, stop it. Let it stop. So that they are incentivized to actually address the health needs of all girls and women. Okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox.
No, you're fine. I love Boom. It. I there's a cool moment here. Well, not a cool moment, a sad moment where it's a mother of a student who shared
Riley
attending Georgia with Lakin mm-hmm. and asks about that situation. And I know you're waiting for that question. So if you want to hear that's happening.
You know Tom right. Holman, you see Tom Holman on your show, but you see,
Mr.
he said we did the greatest job in the history of the border. And all they had to do is leave it and leave those people there.
But they didn't. Great.
But they didn't.
All right, I want to give Nancy an opportunity because I think you really want to hear this. Nancy, please.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Nancy. I'm from Milton, Georgia, originally from Ohio.
Good.
But go dogs. Yeah. And thank you for coming. Furthering the discussion on immigrant crime along with liberal-run cities where crime is out of control, my son is a Georgia Bulldog. He was on campus the day Lakin Riley was murdered. Mm. You know, terrifying for all those kids, right? I wanted to know, like, how quickly in a sanctuary city, like they're calling Athens, Georgia, how quickly can you remove those threats to our society so that our children can go out on a run, as they rightfully should be able to do, in a park in the daytime by themselves? It should not be like that. And also, I was wondering, I watch television all the time. I see your ads. I don't see a lot of vocalness about these sort of crimes, these hideous crimes in your promotion. Yeah. So I'm wondering why that is.
Well, we are into it. First of all, we are going to end all sanctuary cities immediately. We're going to end them. Because they're really...
Is that an executive order you do that with?
They're really... I could do it with an executive order. I'll have to do it with an executive order. You could do it with the Aliens Act of 1798. We can do things in terms of moving people out. We can move them out of the sanctuary cities. You have some liberal, crazy people that they fight. You know, normally you like to understand the opponent, like in business. You want to understand what is the opposites. Why do they want this? You know, you want to try and figure why do they want open borders? Why do they want to do this? Why do they want sanctuary cities? Sanctuary cities are really meant for one thing, to protect criminals. That's what they become. We're going to end all sanctuary cities in the United States, and we're going to go back to normalcy. And we're going to have law and order. We're going to we have to reinvigorate our police. We have great police. They're not allowed to do their job. If they do their job with gusto and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of arrests, one bad arrest and it's on the front page of every newspaper. And these people are incredible. They want to do their job, just like the Border Patrol. They want to do their job. We're going to let them do their job. And I'm going to give them immunity. We're going to protect them because they do things and they end up getting sued. They lose their family. They lose their house.
Can I ask you
they lose their pension. They lose everything.
So that took a turn that I did not count on from Trump. I know that what's making headlines, I will tell you this morning on MSNBC and NBC, what are they focusing on? Is that they're saying that Trump once again doubles down on calling Democrats enemies from within. So we'll watch for that one for sure and put it in the proper context, because I know that J.D. Vance and the Trump, different Trump himself, has said the enemy from within, talking about people coming into this country who want to harm us, cause crime, that sort of thing. What is that term, enemy from within? What does that mean? But I know that it's one of the headlines. Here's a headline, MSNBC. Trump's military solution for enemies within is what a fascist might propose. So that's one of your headlines. Man, this is going to get, you know, we're what, less than 20 days ahead. This is going to get more and more vicious. But you think about, I also don't know if they're going to talk about the storms, because right now, the latest, and it's not, well, I had to find this on BBC, you know, it's a foreign entity, that at least 95 people are still missing just in the state of North Carolina in the aftermath of the storms. And so you have many people still missing. You have a death toll that's rising. It's expected, they're saying it's expected to reach 300 dead. And you look at it, it just, it's devastating what people are going through. Power outages, it's a mess. And so what is happening to help our fellow Americans in seven states down south in Florida?
So the enemy within remark comment is now happening, if you want.
Okay, let's listen.
Like Adam Schiff, I call him the enemy.
They're playing back the clip from Mario Bartiromo right now.
Kamala Harris has said you sounded unhinged, and unchecked power is in our future. What do you say?
I thought it was a nice presentation. I wasn't unhinged. No, you know what they are? They're a party of sound bites. Somebody asked me, can they be brought together? You know, I never thought, really, I wasn't thinking like they could, because they're very, very different. And it is the enemy from within, and they're very dangerous. They're Marxists and communists and fascists, and they're sick. I use a guy like Adam Schiff because they made up the Russia hoax. It took 2 years to solve the problem. Absolutely nothing was done wrong, et cetera, et cetera. They're dangerous for our country. We have China, we have Russia, we have all these countries. If you have a smart president, they can all be handled. The more difficult are, the Pelosi's, these people, they're so sick and they're so evil. If they would spend their time trying to make America great again, it would be so easy to make this country great. But when I heard about that, they were saying I was like threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. They're the ones doing the threatening. They do phony investigations. I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone. He was the greatest man. No, it's true. No, but think of it. It's called weaponization of government. It's a terrible thing.
All right.
They're the threat to democracy.
This is a question.
The headline after that answer, Trump escalates threats to political opponents. So that's the headline in reaction to what you just heard from Donald J. Trump. And so that's why it's important. That's why I want to play this, because you're going to hear the headlines that, oh, he's threatening. Was that a threat? Did anybody hear him threatening political? This is a man who's been shot. I mean, no matter what you say, his ear was shot. And okay, so I think if anybody can talk about an enemy from within, it's why also I'm telling you that if that ruling does come down 1 month from September 25th, which would make it October 25th, the appellate court ruling in New York, I'm looking at a court observer saying this very well could be an overturned case, a slap in the face to the AG, to Tish James and company and Gamoran, all of them. And I think that goes to what he's saying, persecution, election interference, all of that. And so that's why this all matters. I think the truth will come out, but perhaps it'll come out after the election. So, Dan, what do we need to do here?
We need to hear about a great trip you'll be taking.
Ah, yes. Well, speaking of, when we speak of Italy, look at what's happening in Italy. They hired their great conservative president there, a woman who's very popular. And think about, this is not just happening in America with so many of these issues and people trying to change our upside down world and make it right. Sometimes you feel like you just want to escape to someplace beautiful, someplace special. Yes, the Italian Riviera. We're off to paradise once again. This is a gastronomical event which only conservative tourists can deliver. I hope you join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. The best, hands down, best of the best. tour operator in all of Italy. A-plus rating with the BBB, Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, which is gorgeous. 5378. And yes, I got a text. Does that include your airfare? Yes, 5378 includes your airfare. This is amazing. Dining events. Oh, I can't wait for the dining events at wineries, Tuscany. I've never been. Visiting an authentic farm to see exactly how Parmesan cheese is crafted by hand. Just call toll-free 888-733-9494. Go to conservativetours.com, conservativetours.com. Scroll through. They have my picture there. I got to change that picture, by the way, to a picture in Italy from last spring, from that trip. This is all totally different, but we got to change the picture. You're going to see different things in a different picture, I promise, soon. Hidden Italian villages that you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, Milan. We will conclude on the stunning lakes region with, listen to this, Bellagio, Orta, Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tell them Dolan sent you. Can't wait to see the ratings from this. It's going to be huge, obviously. And then remember that Bret Baier interviews Vice President Harris. That airs this evening. That as well is pre-taped. So, you know, it's much shorter. Obviously, Trump is on, what, a full hour with Harris Faulkner, I believe, on Fox. So we're continuing to follow it. And, you know, I think what strikes me right now is that for Trump, he's, if I look at him, he's not Bill Clinton biting his lip. I feel your pain. I know. Oh, Lisa, let me hold your hand, honey. So Trump is a businessman. And he's sitting there. He's totally comfortable. He's just saying it like it is. He's not hesitant. He's not worried about what he might say. And so I think he does very well in these types of atmospheres, if you will, these platforms, because he's taking the questions. But most of them are obviously, to me, that I've heard so far, these are pretty friendly. These are Trump voters, and he's, you know, these are women who support him. But I saw a preview that they are expecting some tough questions from non-Trumps, you know, from Democrat one lady from California in particular is going to ask him about the abortion issue. Dan, do you see anything differently? I don't know if he can hear me.
I was just listening to what Harris is saying. They just bumped back and they're getting into abortion as we speak. Here's the question, Dawn.
Hi. My name is Pamela. I am from Cumming, Georgia, right here, and originally from Danville, California. So facing the question of abortion, women are entitled to do what they want to and need to do with their bodies, right, including their unborn. That's on them, regardless of the circumstance. Some are necessary to save their own lives. Why is the government involved in women's basic rights?
Right. Good. I think it's great, and I'm glad you asked it. For 52 years, this issue has torn our country apart. Every legal scholar, the great ones, every lawyer, but the Democrats, the Republicans, the liberals, the conservatives, they wanted it brought out of the federal government and brought back to the states for a vote of the people. And like Ronald Reagan, I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother. I strongly believe. You know, you have to follow your heart. Some people don't. It's a very small percentage, but you have to follow your heart. But you have the exceptions. But what we were able to do is, through really the courage of six Supreme Court justices, we were able to do this after years and years of turmoil. Now it's back in the states. We have, the states are voting for it. If you take Ohio and Kansas, it was a much more liberal vote than you would have thought. I think it was 20 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. A much more liberal vote. But now it's where everybody has wanted it for years. And now it's working its way out in the states. Nobody wanted it to be in the federal government. 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, they started talking about weeks and this and that. But what they wanted is they wanted it back in the states for a vote of the people. And that's why we have it. And the states are now voting for it. And honestly, some of them are going much more liberal. Like in Ohio, I would have thought it might
some of them
be a
are not
different. And some of them are not, but it's going to be redone. They're going to, you end up with a vote of the people. And some of them, I agree, they're too tough. And those are going to be redone because already there's a movement in those states. I know exactly what you're talking about to redo it. It's back in the states where they can have the vote of the people. It's exactly where they want to be. Remember this. This issue has torn this country apart for 52 years. So we got it back in the states. We have a vote of the people, and it's working its way through the system. And ultimately, it's going to be the right thing. And IVF, you had mentioned before,
right,
IVF.
Let's get
here
this
comes.
Question,
yeah.
Because I believe that's what this is about.
Oh, I want to talk about IVF. I'm the father.
You don't
hear
this. Listen,
I'm the father of IVF, so I want to hear this question.
I'm the father of IVF.
Hi, President Trump. Hi. Welcome back to Georgia. We are so happy that you're here. We're all very blessed to be here with you, and thank you for taking our questions. So I'm the mother of three small children, and I have many friends that have struggled with fertility issues over the years while trying to grow their families. And while they're pro-life, they're very concerned that the abortion bans will affect their ability to access IVF and other fertility treatments. So although abortion does lie with the states, what is your stance on that, and what would you say to those women?
So I got a call from Katie Britt, a young, just a fantastically attractive person from Alabama. She's a senator. And she called me up like emergency, because an Alabama judge had ruled that the IVF clinics were illegal and they have to be closed down. A judge ruled. And she said, friends of mine came up to me and they were so angry. I didn't even know they were going, it's fertilization. I didn't know they were even involved in it. Nobody talks about it. They don't talk about it. But now that they can't do it, she said, I was attacked in a certain way. I was attacked. And I said, explain IVF very quickly. And within about 2 minutes, I understood it. I said, no, we're totally in favor of IVF. I came out with a statement within an hour, a really powerful statement with some experts, really powerful. And we went totally in favor, the Republican Party, the whole party. Alabama legislature a day later overturned, meaning approved it, overturned the judge, essentially approved it. And we really are the party for IVF. We want fertilization, and it's all the way. And the Democrats tried to attack us on it, and we're out there on IVF even more than them. So we're totally in favor of it.
So the comment that's making headline, I'm the father of IVF, but I think for Republicans, you know, this certainly is a winning vote, in a national election. However, many pro-life Catholics are not happy with him for saying just that about IVF. So we'll have to end it there as we head over to the Dom Giordano show. But to me, I think he's done well. But did he win anybody new? That's the real question here. Is he winning over somebody new who had a question? I'm not really sure that he did. I think these were Georgia women who already were going to vote for him, or at least the vast majority of them. So I don't know if he won anybody over, but the fact that he can, for an hour or so chat in a huge room in a venue full of women voters and have this conversation, and he's a professional businessman, he's respectful, he's talking about the issues. So I think on that one, I'll say, okay, it's a win. We'll see what Dom Giordano thinks. And Dom Giordano has reaction from, well, at least one person with the last name Trump, I do believe.
Well, we'll see if Don can pop on. No, he says Eric Trump at 12:30 today, Don. And I want to go, J.D. Vance yesterday, this guy from CBS3, jumps into the ring saying there's no evidence of people that are here illegally voting. When he asked him a question about, will you certify the election if you lose? David Muir did it in this when I was watching him in the spin room. Now the FBI says crime is up 4.5 points, not down 2. Mm-hmm. Will David Muir issue an apology tonight?
Yes, they should, Dom. Good
Absolutely.
Idea. Listen to Dom Giordano, would you? David Muir. Dom is great. Dom show coming up. Can't wait to hear you talk to Eric Trump and maybe his take on all of this today. Big day. Thumbs up now.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.